The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, the weeds appeared as well. Then the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be buried, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." And he answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are his children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up at the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Let anyone with ears listen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So, if God is all powerful and God loves us, how come God isn't doing something about all these things that are leaving us anxious? Why doesn't God do something about the virus? And politics, and Twitter wars, and school, and travel, and seeing people, and life changes? Why doesn't an all-living and all-powerful God pull up the weeds in our lives? After all, we, with limited power, go to war with the weeds of the world all the time. We practice loving kindness and gentleness in the face of rudeness and hostility. We act with integrity. We try to put the needs of others, starting in our own circles, above our own needs. And sometimes we even go beyond our own circle and try to change things for the better at a systemic level. We may write a letter to the editor. We may vote or work at the polls and try and change things for the better. We may contact our elected leaders. We may speak out when it would be safer to stay silent. We may protest publicly. We try to eliminate the weeds that are around us. Sometimes, maybe with too much enthusiasm, we see some people that use the Roundup approach to getting rid of the weeds. Spray the whole thing, never mind the wheat, those good and useful things that got eliminated along with the weeds. Spray the field and wipe it all out. A scorched earth policy, to use another metaphor. Well, Jesus, in his parable of the wheat and the weeds, warns us about the consequences of overzealously destroying the weeds. Consider these issues. First, it's hard to always know what's a weed. In the parable, the specific weed that's mentioned in the Greek is one that looks just like the wheat when it starts to grow and come up. Kind of like what happens to us when we begin what seems like a really good idea, and then it later turns out to have negative, unintended consequences. Or when something or someone that seems weedy to you Turns out, when you talk to someone else about it, turns out that person or thing is a lovely flower to the other person. As one wit said, a weed is just a flower that's a victim of prejudice. Is it wheat or weed? Your opinion or mine? Or a beneficial thing? Or annoying? That's what some of us are asking about Zoom meetings these days. Jesus suggests that we aren't qualified to tell unequivocally the wheat from the weeds. So we try to weed out the evil in our world, yes, but always with the recognition, the humility to know that we may mess up and we may need forgiveness ourselves for being weedy weeders. We tend to think that if we could just weed out those toxic folks, whether in church or government or the workplace, then it would all be wonderful and trouble-free. But a little self-examination is all it takes to tell us that, oops, each and every one of us is both wheat and weed. Yep, we are weeds too. And we live in a society that demands perfection, that only tolerates us when we are wheat. Something a politician said or a vote that they did 20 years ago in a different context is condemned as if it happened yesterday. You may be in a job or a role that makes demands on you based on totally unrealistic expectations. And because you're not meeting them, because you're not perfect, they make you feel ashamed, make you feel like you are a weed in the system. Maybe you even feel like a weed because you aren't being perfect about fitness recommendations and dietary health rules that are lifted up as shoulds by our doctors or in our reading. You may even know of people whose anxiety over feeling themselves to be weeds pushes them to resort to the Roundup policy on weed control for themselves. Suicide. Maybe you've been there yourself. Jesus calls us to live with the weeds, those that are inside ourselves and those that are outside of us, in our neighbors and our culture and the world. Live with them, look for the good growth that's entangled with the bad. Rather than trying to root out the bad, celebrate, lift up, and encourage the good that you see. The psychology people describe this as positive reinforcement. Notice the behaviors you want to see more of. Help the wheat grow. Or put another way, as a warning against giving attention to bad behavior, the wolf that you feed is the one that stays with you. So Jesus warns us not to pull out the weeds, but to live with them and look for the flowers that they put forth and leave it to God to separate and save the good parts of the fields in our world, in our lives, and then to work to eliminate the bad part. It's hard to leave those things to God. We complain and harangue against the weeds that God permits. Why, God, did you create the weeds in the first place? We groan with the rest of the world at injustice and cruelty and incompetence. As St. Paul said, we know the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. The creation awaiting the birth of the kingdom of God in all its fullness, awaiting that final harvest, laboring painfully in the midst of this gestation. We have the promise that God will fix things in God's time, not our time. God waits for all things to come to fruition. You may get mad at God for not acting sooner. God, if you're all powerful and all loving, fix things now. Why do we have to work to grow good fruit while the weeds are in the way? We're told to go to war with evil, but not permitted to judge who's evil or to harm them in any way. And that's frustrating. But it's our God's way. As someone said, we don't go to war with the God we want, but with the God we've got. We do the work of the kingdom the way our God leads us, trusting that our God knows how to win the kingdom for everyone, even when we think we might come up with a better way. And when we get frustrated, we're invited to cry to our Heavenly Father, as St. Paul says, when we cry, Abba, Father, it's the Holy Spirit, bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. It's God who prompts us to cry out in frustrated question, because our cry to God comes out of our faith that we are God's children and that we are heard, that our frustrations and our pain are heard. We will make mistakes, as all children do, as they learn what works and what doesn't. My granddaughter this week learned to crawl up the stairs. It was pretty easy for her. When she got the knack of one, she was zipping up them. But now she has the difficult and painful task of learning how to go back down. We try to do good. We try to do our bit to fix the suffering in the world. And then we encounter those unintended consequences, those roadblocks, make those painful stumbles. And so here again, the declaration of the psalmist, you, O Lord, our God, are merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. God is with us in our efforts and our errors, like a kind parent on the stairs behind us, ready to catch us if we fall. Jesus says the angels, not you, not me, will tend to the harvest. And for that promise, we say thanks be to God. Amen.